In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What strikes all of us immediately on this Wednesday in the fourth week of Lent is that we encounter today in the Mass two lessons from the Old Testament before hearing the Gospel. There is also the prayer, Oremus Flectamus Genoa, where we bend the knee, in between these two lessons. And so we might think for a moment that we are celebrating an Ember Day. Today was always known as the Feria of the Great Scrutiny. And as we are treating of the Fathers of the Church this Lent, we should recall well that we are placing ourselves in the era of the Fathers when we celebrate this Mass today. This is the sacred liturgy exactly as our Fathers in the Latin Church would have encountered it, with one certain addition, is that they would be celebrating today's ceremonies in their full solemnity. If we consider even St. Augustine, for instance, the father who preaches to us today on the Gospel of St. John, we consider how he himself was among those who would have endured this great scrutiny today. Formerly, we would have the introit of the Mass, and then after the Kyrie eleison and the Flectamus Genoa, we would have certain prayers. We would have this lesson given to the catechumens who were preparing for baptism, and then they would be interrogated. They would be examined. They would have certain exorcisms pronounced over them, and including the imposition of hands. If you wish to understand exactly what these ceremonies were, you need look no further than the ceremony of baptism, which we still have today. All of these things were later on consolidated, so that they were all of these prayers, everything that was done to the catechumens on this day would be done later on as part of the ceremony of baptism, whether of an adult or of an infant. Although if we look at the baptism of adults, we do see the ceremony a little bit more clearly indicated than it would be for an infant. It is worth recalling, however, that in former times this would have been part of the preparation for catechumens. Today they would have been examined, and after that interrogation, and then having these prayers pronounced over them, the exorcism and imposition of hands, which now form for us part of the beginning of the ceremony of baptism, then they would be judged ready for baptism at the Easter Vigil. That is why the lessons today are concerned especially with life-giving water and the need to be cleansed in the water. We have the second lesson from the prophet Isaiah. However, the first lesson and the introit are taken from the prophet Ezekiel, whom we have heard before on certain subjects at the beginning of Lent, tied also to the Gospel of St. John, as they are today. It is indeed a very important lesson that we are given today, for the very pressing question is asked of our Lord today by the Jews with regard to this man who is born blind, whom our Lord is about to heal. He is asked by his disciples, "Rabbi, who hath sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" To which our Lord responds, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Why is this man born blind? Our Lord makes it very clear. We are all born with certain physical ailments. We all have certain physical shortcomings, certain illnesses, handicaps, and so on. All of these things can be used for God's glory. God allows us in this valley of tears to have certain crosses to bear, certain shortcomings, certain faults, and weaknesses, so that his glory may be made manifest in us. Here, however, our Lord wishes to make use of this man born blind to work a miracle so that people may believe in the grace which he is bringing by the New Testament. This is why it is contrasted especially with the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel. Before this passage which we hear today in the Mass, Ezekiel has told us earlier in Lent and earlier in his prophecy about this supposition, which was very common. We see that it is common among the Jews in our Lord's time, and it was common even before that, to suppose that if someone is afflicted in this world, it must be because of some sort of generational sin, that somehow, because of the sins of ancestors, we come into this world afflicted. This is a very popular theory today, especially among the evangelicals, but sadly also among some Catholics, that we cannot get any farther in the spiritual life unless we first have our generational tree cleansed. Such has never been the teaching of Holy Mother Church. St. Augustine makes it very clear what the church teaching is today. He says that our Lord speaks the way he does to point out that there is only one kind of generational sin. That is original sin. There is the sin of our first parents, which indeed is passed on to us by propagation and not by imitation, as the Council of Trent teaches. This original sin, however, consists primarily in the absence of sanctifying grace. That is what original sin is for us, first and foremost. It is the fact that all of us come into this world without the sanctifying grace which would have been ours by a free gift of God if Adam had not rejected it. In addition, however, St. Augustine, in his teaching, both today and at other times, insists very much on this point, because of the fact that sanctifying grace and the other preternatural gifts given to Adam and Eve were ripped away, they were pridefully cast away, there is also a wound there that festers on our soul from the sin of Adam. That is, we are given to weakness. We are given to concupiscence, to blindness, to malice, and to weakness. These wounds of our soul only begin to be healed from the moment that we first receive sanctifying grace in baptism. And it is indeed a healing process. It would only be by a miracle of grace that someone would be completely healed of all the wounds of original sin in a moment. With all of us, we know that from the moment of our baptism, the healing process has begun, and it is continued through our cooperation with grace, especially by prayer, and through the continued fervent reception of the sacraments. This healing process of our Lord is healing from our blindness. This blindness which we have had from birth continues throughout our life until our dying day. We should never be discouraged then by the thought that something else needs to be done on our part. We do not need to worry that we are afflicted because of some sins of our ancestors. To be sure, the world has grown more sinful since the time of our Lord or since the beginning of the world. Sin has been added upon sin. So in addition to original sin, we have the actual sins of so many people that have made this a worse world. These sins have scandalized others, they have been a source of temptation for others, and of course, they have directly hurt others. Of course, we are all very gravely affected by the sins that go on in this world, including the sins of our own ancestors. However, we should not think that beyond the curse of original sin, that we have some other curse on us that we have to remove by some other means besides the sacraments in order to be able to advance in the spiritual life. Christ has already paid the price for our sins, including original sin. He has delivered us by his grace. And so by the grace we receive, first in baptism and then with our fervent reception of the sacraments throughout our life, we may, by the grace of Christ, walk in newness of life, and thus being delivered from sin, obtain, if we persevere, unto the joys of eternal life.